Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
All right, everyone, we're back. It's Inside Boxing Live. It's powered by PPV.com. It's Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri, and we're coming to you on Canelo Crawford Fight Week. If you've been living under a rock, Canelo and Crawford are going to step into a ring Saturday night live on Netflix, and we're here to give you our predictions. We heard from you guys. Thank you so much for all those voicemails. It was probably one of the most entertaining episodes we've put on. Got a lot of great feedback. And Chris, before I ask you how you're doing, we found out some things. We found out who Donny Alvarez really was, which was a little disconcerting because it really wasn't his cousin. And we heard from Miles' dad. Miles' dad checked in. So how are you, Chris, on Fight Week?
I'm good. I'm happy to hear about the follow-ups to our two famous callers that left messages. I have people DMing me about Miles, saying that's so cool. We got Generation Alpha and getting involved in boxing, which is an excellent thing. One of the reasons why this fight being the fight that it is so important. And then Donny Alvarez. Yeah, we kind of knew that wasn't the cousin of Canelo, but still extremely, extremely entertaining.
Donny Alvarez was Ben the Bane Davis.
I'm actually embarrassed that I didn't catch that. You know, his dictation was so good, the way he was able to talk, the way he put things together, the fact that he's very funny. Is that it's Ben? But and also just listening to his voice. But listen, the voicemails get, you know, it changes the voice a little bit, so it was hard to tell. But sorry,
that,
Ben. But
that was a pro. That was a pro at work.
Super pro.
That was a pro work on the mic. We should have known that. The deep voice. Ben Davis does amazing work with Misfits and Dirty Boxing and Real World Road Rules Challenge. That guy is everywhere.
And he's also a fighter. He's fought in every genre of fight sport that's known to man. The guy just gets in there. Karate, combat, bare knuckle. He's MMA. He's done it all.
He's everywhere, and he's now in our voicemails.
It's awesome. It's cool that he's one of our listeners. You're welcome to listen in to Ben. That's awesome.
And as for Miles, his dad checked in and said, "This is my son. I'm going for Bud." Miles' dad. Dissension in the household in dominant fashion. I called in and he didn't air it. Sorry, number one. But Miles grabbed the phone, went upstairs and made his prediction in his room as if this couldn't get any better.
I mean, listen, he had to do it like hiding in his own home, which is, you know, dissenting, going against his father. that's a veteran move, man. Miles at 10 years old. He's a very mature young man. He knows his boxing. All the points that he made were phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Miles, you're awesome. And awesome. We're going to have to hear from you again. We're going to maybe have you on the show. We're going to have to hear from you every big fight, whatever your dad allows. Like, if you want to join us for a segment, the door is open, my friend.
That would be so great. So great. Hopefully we can make that happen. A future boxing pundit.
Oh my God. All right, let's get into it. It's here. I've asked you numerous times your excitement level. We're a few days out. Where is it at?
I'm actually dipping a little. I'm going back down. It's been a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster, and I don't know. It's a little bit of the Canelo Crawford fatigue is starting to set in. You know, when you work in the media space in this crazy sport, you know, guys at home, Dan and I do a tremendous amount of research for absolutely every show that we do. So you know, it's a lot of work behind the scenes, and just like, man, just going through this stuff and just. But also, it's like it's everywhere. You know, I'm in the gyms a lot, so like I'm hearing about this all day, every day, and everyone giving their takes. A lot of stupid takes, I must add, which is probably probably increasing my fatigue dramatically. But yeah, I mean, we're almost here. There's still a long way to go. Fight weeks are long. Fight weeks are it's an endurance test. Fight week is a marathon, guys, and it's not just for us media guys. It's that for fighters too. I remember I hated fight weeks at the end of my career. I loved it when I was young and spry. I loved it when I was early in my career. I absolutely abhorred it at the end of my career. I didn't want to deal with all the BS. I don't want to have to deal with talking to Dan Canobio a couple times a week. I didn't hate calling my phone, blowing my phone up, this guy trying to get an exclusive interview on Inside Boxing Live. Yeah. There's a lot of that. And now even as a media pundit and collaborator, oh, man, everybody's reaching out to me too. And like, oh, what's your prediction? I'm like, man, my prediction is coming out on my show, not your show.
That's
right. I have my own show. So I've been denying a lot of media access to people because I'm saving it for right here.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've hit up a few. I joined Tris Dixon's show. Oh, that was more about me, which I loved. Tris is an unbelievable guy. Go check that out on his Boxing Life Stories YouTube page. Yeah.
Friend of the show. Tris is awesome. My workout partner when we're on the road.
He's the best.
He's always, he's always training.
Jacked out of his mind. I would say like we need these events every year. We need more than just one Canelo Crawford. We need like three or four of these mega events. But when it comes with mega events is casual fans checking in and crazy opinions and hey, friends texting you for tickets or friends texting you where you're watching or friends texting you who you think is going to win. Good and bad because, you know, boxing, it's our own little thing. It's our own little bubble. And now it's expanded because this is a mega fight. It's going, we're going to see it on SportsCenter. We're going to see it get big time coverage and that's great. But yes, it does come with a little bit of a caveat. It's where like, all right, this kind of engulfs your life. And it's not the worst thing. I'm not going to sit here and complain and say, oh, my God, we got to talk about Canelo Crawford so much. But, yeah, we're getting close to the finish line. I just want to see them in the ring because I'm getting – I just can't think of any more storylines for the two. And like, I will ask you one thing because we're getting closer. I'm trying to think about legacies now and what this fight really means, the historical impact of it. A win for Canelo would do what?
It would keep him where he's at. I think it's more status quo for him. He's supposed to win this fight. He's got a guy coming up multiple weight classes to fight him. It fleshes out his bank account quite a bit. It keeps him in the position where he's at, where he's still undisputed champion at 168. He can still get big fights down the line. He's going to step right back into another big fight, regardless of who it is. And I think for Canelo, I think in terms of elevating his career, I think it's a minor bump. But maintaining where you're at when you're at the top is huge. And we're talking about the amount of money. This is something coming from a fighter's perspective. All of us fighters make the most money at the end of our career. It's unfortunate because we're usually not the best version of ourselves by that time. This is not the best version of Canelo Alvarez. But our money earning potential is by far the best that it's ever been. And that's just the nature of the sport. As you get bigger and your profile grows, your ability to garner bigger purses happens. That happens at the end of the career. So for Canelo to be able to extend his career for another couple of years with a win here, especially staying at the level, because now, like, that's the thing. When you lose, your money goes down. Your ability to make money goes down. But you keep winning, it goes up and it goes up and it goes up exponentially. I remember my 2014, I went from, you know, very meager purses to seven figures. So, and that's just because I kept winning. If I had taken a loss at any point there, it would have taken a lot longer to get back there. Maybe never would have. So Canelo is trying to maintain that status where he's garnering the big purses. And a win here keeps him in that running.
Do you think, though, like he's almost like a guy, he's a .0001 percenter in boxing where even if he loses, his next fight is guaranteed.
Yeah,
and I don't think there's anything in that contract with Turkey that says if you lose, you know, we're going to slash your guarantee. Like, this guy's had at least a $30 million guarantee since 2018 when he signed that mega deal with DAZN. And I'm sure before that it was high. But I know you're kind of saying, like, his value will decrease at this time. His legacy is set. Maybe what we think of him as a fighter will decrease. Therefore, it trickles into the economics of it. But in terms of legacy, I think if a loss, I think will hurt him. It will hurt because he's losing to a smaller guy. He's losing to a guy towards the end of his career. Coming off the skull defeat, you know, the Bivol fight was somewhat recent, not fighting Benavidez. They'll start to really poke holes in him. And some of the whispers that we've heard about Canelo in the last couple of years, he can't drop guys. I watched your colleague over at ProBox compare him to John Ruiz. So there is crazy amounts of chatter about this guy right now. And if he
could not let that one slide. No shade on John.
Dude, I was watching that clip and I was like, where is Chris? Chris, jump in there. Then I hear you like, Paulie,
But there's a lot of Canelo hate and bias out there, and it's not just with the fans. It's obviously with some of us are media pundits as well, and fighters. Right.
If Canelo loses, on top of the whispers that we've been hearing for years, and he's over the hill, this, that, and the other, it will be a significant dent in his legacy. I still think
the whispers are going to go to Hall of Fame. The whispers will go through a megaphone if he loses.
Okay, now to Crawford. He wins this. He has everything to gain in this fight. We're looking at a three-time undisputed champion. It's never been done, albeit with an asterisk next to it, because at 147, he picked up the last piece of it. At 168, he's going to pick up the last piece of it. Still impressive. He's still beating the guy that was the man. You know, Spence was looked at as the man at 147. Canelo, obviously, is the man at 168. He's undefeated at the weight class. Crawford has everything to gain here. Crawford wins this fight. Are we looking like top 10 all time ever?
Listen, I keep looking at this fight similarly to Sugar Ray Robinson moving up to light heavyweight to fight Joey Maxim. And Sugar Ray Robinson couldn't do it. He was this close. For our boxing heads, our historians out there, I think it was the 14th round and it was extremely hot. And he was boxing Joey Maxim's shoes off and was looking great doing it. And then just ran out of gas. The physicality of the guy all night long also is a 15 rounder, and the heat got to him, and he literally collapsed, almost died that night. Went into the hospital for multiple days. I think he was actually in the hospital for like weeks. Who knows? Because historically, things tend to get hyperbolic the further away you get. But listen, Sugar Ray Robinson couldn't do this, and that's what I'm looking at this fight. If Crawford goes out there and accomplishes this, he's doing the thing that Sugar Ray Robinson, the quote-unquote, where pound-for-pound name was developed and made, it's something historic for sure. It's huge. It's absolutely humongous. But in terms of him like having nothing to lose, yeah, he still has something to lose because there's whispers about Crawford's record. You know, there's a lot of holes to punch through there as well. And we're starting to hear them now because, listen, when you got to fight this big, everything goes under scrutiny, right? You're under the microscope. And people are starting to dig in. They're looking past the numbers. When did he fight that guy? When did he fight this guy? When did he fight Amir Khan? When did he fight Kell Brook? You know, like, how come he didn't fight those other guys that Spence fought to get those titles? How come he just got Spence at the end, where Spence potentially was damaged from major car accidents and out of the ring stupidity? So all of those are going to come out if he does lose. Listen, is he an all-time great either way? Sure. Is his legacy not pretty much set where it is right now? Yes. I think a loss, I don't think his legacy takes that big of a hit, because you're going to go, all right, he jumped up two weight classes. Just like Sugar Ray Robinson. He jumped up to fight Joey Maxim. He almost did it. He didn't do it. We don't talk about the Joey Maxim fight for Sugar Ray Robinson's stellar career. We talk about what he's done before that.
Right, exactly.
That's not going to be the focal point.
Right. The legacy supersedes the details. Like, we'll remember the three-time undisputed champion for Canelo. We'll remember five-division world champion. We won't remember the chatter every week that went around. Or is he done? Is he done? That's what makes fighters want to take these types of fights. For Crawford, yeah, the daring to be great aspect of it. Like, how do we feel? Whenever I heard that over the years, and I think of Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence, it comes to mind the most with that. And there are some parallels between that fight and this fight, where Mikey was supposed to fight guys in his own weight class, maybe Lomachenko or whoever was at 135 at the time. He jumps up to 147 to fight Errol Spence, the bigger man. It gets dominated for 12 rounds. But we say he was daring to be great, guys. If he would have won, it would have been a story that would have been told forever. Like, I feel like that is kind of the case here with Crawford. If he does beat Canelo, it's going to be an unbelievable win, one of the best wins of the last 50 years. If he loses, yeah, we are going to hear some people say, you know, this guy, he fought once a year. He didn't beat anyone in their prime. He cashed out. This is a cash out. You know, I can hear it right now, but that's the risk. And that's the risk of this fight. And that's what makes it intriguing for a number of reasons, is the legacies. And also, like, obviously, can the little man beat the big man?
The Mikey Garcia reference, though, there was mutterings about Mikey really not loving boxing for a long time prior to that fight.
And that was a cash out.
That was a full-blown cash out. He didn't take a lot of risk.
Remember this
fight.
Every round?
Yeah. He didn't take a lot of risks in that fight. And it's funny, we always talk about the daring to be great. Daring to be great isn't signing a huge contract for a big fight, money fight. Daring to be great is going for it on fight night in the ring, when everything's really on the line, when your health is on the line, when your livelihood is on the line. When you've got that guarantee, guys, we signed the contract for the fight prior. We know how much money we're making before the fight. It win or lose is for the next fight. It's not for that current fight. So if you go out there, dare to be great by signing on the line, I don't go with that. So
Chris Algieri fighting Ruslan Pravodnikov.
Daring to be great. Signing that fight, people are like, wow, this kid. Well, basically they were saying I was daring to be stupid signing that fight. But
when I first saw it, I was like, oh man.
Oof.
Nice knowing you,
Chris.
I was like, he's got to do that.
To be great is,
he's got
to
do it.
I had to do it. But I also, I knew I was going to win too. But especially at the training camp and how good it went. And, you know. But anyway, regardless. But daring to be great is when, yeah, you get your orbital broken in the first round and you're down 10-7. Or was it 10-7, 10-6, whatever, in the first round.
I had you down 10-2 heading into the second round.
10-2. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I had a lot of ground to make up.
I was ringside for that, bro.
Yeah. Great night. But yeah, that's daring to be great. So it's not signing a contract. It's not signing on the dotted line.
I hate daring to be great. I hate that. I hate it so much because it's AKA cash out. But I don't think that's the case here. I don't think that's the case for Crawford. Put a little more respect on his name. The guy wants to win. He wants to be the best. He is cashing out, and every fighter deserves that. Like you just said, like towards the end of their career, just like in baseball, like you don't become a free agent until you're like 30 in baseball, and then you're getting paid top dollar for not your best years. So I understand that. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about judging in this fight. The judges for Canelo versus Crawford: Tim Cheatham, Max DeLuca, Steve Weisfeld. Steve Weisfeld, I believe, is one of the best judges in all of boxing. He's judged 8 of Canelo's last 9 fights in Vegas. No real funny business. The funny business comes with Tim Cheatham. Tim Cheatham had Canelo beating Bivol 115-113.
Yeesh.
What do you think about that? And I think judges are going to play a big role in this fight. And we have a guy that is very pro Canelo. I watched Canelo Bivol numerous times. In no way did Canelo win that fight.
No, I was there. I was there in that fight. And it's funny. I was on the DAZN broadcast early on in the night, and I was talking to our friend Eddie Adipo, and I think he had said something like, you know, how does Bivol, you know, stay in this fight? Something along those lines. Like, how does Bivol, you know, make this competitive? I'm like, competitive? I'm like, this guy might win. Like, this is a really difficult style for Canelo, and Bivol hasn't shown me anything to say that he was going to fold under the pressure. Sure enough, he went out there and did that, and honestly, he dominated. I thought that Canelo packed it in at the end of that fight and was like, all right, I can't beat this guy today. I'll come back next time and get him. But that was the opposite of daring to be great. That was Canelo being like, eh, all right. That's I'm not going to go for it. I'm going to take my loss, and hopefully the judges work out my way. And he had Cheatham there to help potentially make that happen. The fact that was a split decision is wild.
Steve Weisfeld had Canelo losing to Bivol 115-113. He had Canelo over Triple G in the third fight 115-113, which was pretty close. Mm-hmm. Now over to Max DeLuca. He has scored 3 Canelo fights, Berlango, Charlo, Saunders, all the right way. Max DeLuca scored Garcia Haney a draw, which I don't even think is humanly possible with all the knockdowns.
Right. Well, I guess he likes boxers. But I mean, we've gone over that fight too. It was a lot closer than people give it credit for because of all the knockdowns, because Haney did box well through vast portions of that fight, and Ryan just didn't throw a lot of punches. So does that say that he likes guys who are active?
He scored Thurman over Pacquiao, 114-113.
I don't. Yeah, okay, that's a stretch.
I think DeLuca and Cheatham were controversial picks, and I think that Canelo or Crawford's team investigated Cheatham. I think there was some pushback there. Weisfeld is a G in my mind. Remember when they put him on HBO, and you're like, oh man,
oh boy.
Maybe we shouldn't hear from these judges. Speaking of judges.
Judges need to be a certain type. They don't need to be personalities. In fact, I think
unless you're Harold Letterman, who's unreal.
He was there to be the personality. He was more personality than a judge at that point.
Yeah. I don't know if you read this story over on Boxing Scene. Tom Schreck, former judge, wrote an article about biases that judges have. It was very, very revealing, and it was very interesting about if a guy gets knocked out in his last fight, like you remember it because you are a human and you judge it differently. He admitted to it. And he said that a lot of judges do it too. They if they see flashy, one guy comes in with like $800 gloves and flashy trunks and the other guy's wearing a Walmart shoes.
Not good.
I know. And he admitted to it. And he said crowd noise plays a role. And he said there were all these factors. He says play a role. And you don't want to admit it because you're supposed to be a judge and you're supposed to almost be a robot. But he said it's almost impossible because we are human. And I thought it was a real amazing article. I just go check it out on Boxing Scene. And, you know, these guys
back
are...
the curtain, huh? That's interesting. Revealing is a good word that you use to describe that.
Revealing. Very revealing. I was reading it like, my jaw dropped a few times. And it was all things that we know. Like, we know the crowd noise impacts judges. We know that they go in with some preconceived notions. You're supposed to judge every round as if it's an individual thing. Like, forget the last one. Don't think about the next one. But that's easier said than done. So I do think the judges are going to play a huge role in this fight because it's that type of fight. I think it is going through the scorecards. I think it will be close. I think it will be controversial. And we have some interesting track records. Referee Thomas Taylor, best ref in boxing. So we're good there.
Love Thomas Taylor. He's awesome. He is very level-headed. He's makes great snap decisions, which is really important for judges, for referees, excuse me. They're the guys closest to the action. And it's one of those things where it's like you pull away and it looks obvious. But when you're in there, it's not. So a guy that makes good snap decisions and goes by the rule book is really important. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't play a role in this fight whatsoever. I mean, no one would have to say his name because that's usually when
the best refs, you don't even notice they're there.
They're in the ring, but you don't see them.
But honestly, this fight, I think there's going to be a big portion of that because of the inside fighting. Crawford's not a mover. Canelo's obviously. He's gonna come forward and look to make the ring small. There's going to be a lot of engagement on the inside, and it's not all going to be punching because both neither one of these guys throw a ton of punches.
No, we'll get to that in a second. Let's go to the odds. These are all DraftKings odds, DraftKings Sportsbook.
Have they been changing, Dan? Have the odds been changing?
I looked this morning, haven't really changed. I think a lot of action will start coming in today, and I think a lot of action will come in after the weigh-in. Everything is pretty much the same. Canelo is the betting favorite, minus 165. He hasn't been this low of a favorite since he was the underdog in the second Golovkin fight. Crawford is the underdog at plus 135. He hasn't been an underdog since the Brutus Prescott fight, which he took on short notice back in 2012. That just shows
he moved up in weight. He also moved in weight for that fight.
Yep.
I was reading up on that fight. It was pretty cool. Smashed up Amir Khan a couple years prior.
Yeah, it was cool to read that Bleacher Report preview for Crawford Prescott. They're like a young, hungry American steps in, Terrence Crawford, who's 19-0 at 15 knockouts. And this is his big shot. And he went in, and it was a kind of a dud of a fight. Like, there was a very low output. And
both guys
were wary of the other's power. But, it's been a while since Crawford was the underdog. I know he said in an interview he's been an underdog his entire life. Not inside the ring. I mean, he's definitely defied the odds of coming from Nowhereville, Nebraska to the top. I give him that, but it's been a long time since you've seen the word underdog next to Terrence Crawford's name. And same thing for Canelo too, like minus 165. He was a huge favorite over Bivol. He was a favorite over all these Callum Smith when he jumped up to 168. It was, I think, his first true test there. So the odds are very telling for this one. To go to distance, minus 370. That's pretty good. Decent value there. Canelo by decision, which I think, I mean, Canelo by decision, plus 125, plus money for Canelo decision.
Really? Huh. That's interesting.
Dabble. Canelo stoppage. Can Canelo jump on Crawford late? Can he hurt him in the middle of rounds and then wounded Crawford get stopped? Plus 380.
I think there's a lot of money's going to come in on that. Coming from the Mexican side, and a lot of people who are looking at this like, no, the guy's just too small. Like, this just doesn't compute when you got a guy jumping up three weight classes who hasn't fought in a year, and he's fighting with Canelo, who can really punch and beat up your body and break you down. Although Canelo hasn't scored a stoppage in a while, if you're going to get it, you would think it would be against a smaller guy. So I think there's going to be a lot of money coming in on that. I don't think it's a good bet, but that's not my money, Dan. Not my money. I'm not putting money on that.
Crawford to be knocked down and Canelo to win a decision. Basically, the last like five fights of Canelo. Knock a guy down, cruise to a decision. Did it versus Belanga, did it versus Munguia, did it versus Ryder. Plus 450.
You made some money on that bet for a while with Canelo, no? Didn't you bet that?
It was my like sexy pick that I would do on these DraftKings segments on the broadcast.
But you didn't put the money on it.
I told people to play. I look at it. I told people to take a look. He did it against Berlanga. I think that was the first time I was on the air for Munguia Amazon. Munguia,
well.
And I felt like a genius.
John Ryder.
I also had Pacquiao. I told people to bet Pacquiao to lose in the first six rounds, and mostly because you told me that to freaking Barrios. So thanks for that.
I like how you throw me under the bus there. I'm just saying.
I should have said it on the air. Like, hey, guys.
Jerry said.
Chris, former champion talked me into this because I really don't think Pacquiao's gonna get folded, but Chris does.
That's good job security there, Dan. There you go, protecting the bag. I like it.
Yeah, Crawford decision plus 200, which I thought would be a little wider. Crawford stoppage plus 800. That's the least likeliest scenario. I think it's even least likely than a draw, which is plus 1400. Crawford is not stopping Canelo. Canelo has an iron chin.
The draw. There's always the draw.
The draw went down. It was plus 1,600.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Canelo late stoppage, 7 through 12, plus 550. Canelo 1 through 6, plus 1,400. Don't see that happening. And then the Crawford prop bets for stoppages are astronomical. So, yeah, it's a pretty interesting betting type of fight because – you know, Canelo, towards the back nine of his career, coming off the skull fight, you know, the minus 165, and Crawford being an underdog, getting underdog value for Crawford, who doesn't know how to lose. But that Canelo stop decision, staring me dead in the eyes, plus money.
It's probably your safest bet.
Yes, it is. Moving on to these guys' last couple of fights. Canelo, all unanimous decisions his last five fights. Skull, Berlanga, Munguia, Charlo Ryder dropped four of the five, chased Liam Skull around the ring. I don't even know how to judge that. I don't know how we look at that.
I threw that fight out.
I'm kind of leaning with you. Just get it out of here.
I throw that fight out. I don't think it told us anything. I don't think Canelo was just grabbing the bag over in Riyadh, and it's just like he just didn't. I don't think he cared.
Way too many factors there.
I don't think he cared, and it's funny because a lot of people are trying to bring that up. It's like, well, if Skull did that, you know, if he was able to survive and stay away, Crawford's going to do it easy. I'm like, yeah, but that's not going to be the same Canelo. It's going to be a different guy. He looked different physically. He didn't even look like he was in like the same kind of condition we've seen him in those other four fights that you mentioned. I don't know how seriously he really took that fight.
Over to Crawford, Madrimov, unanimous decision. He did win that fight. People will tell you that he got knocked down in every round. He got hip tossed out of the ring. He got kicked in the face. His family stopped talking to him. That's what people will tell you happened in the Madrimov fight. He won the fight against Madrimov. Did he look human? Yes. Did it snap his KO streak? Yes, but he won. TKO 9, Spence. KO 6, Avanesian. KO 10, Porter. TKO, Kell Brook. Kell Brook is in Terrence Crawford's last five fights. That's how inactive this man is.
It's wild. Wasn't that in like the pandemic? That was like, when was that? What year was that?
I think that was during the Depression. 1929. Someone had an unbelievable line on our YouTube comment section. Was, oh, I know that Crawford's fighting because my kids are 2 years older.
Yikes. That's good.
It's the only knock on the guy. He's got everything. He's an amazing fighter. It's just like, bro, you fight once a year. Like once a year. Like what other sport does your star perform once a year? Imagine LeBron. I'm going to play one game. That's it. Look, Aaron Judge, one game.
I mean, our sport's definitely different, but like our premier top flight guy.
Twice.
Whether, you know, it's been Canelo over recent years. It was, you know, Floyd before that. De La Hoya before that. They had their May and September dates. That's what we do. We fight twice. And even that's like, it's only twice a year. But, you know, once you start thinking about marketing for a fight, building for a big fight, also training for that level of competition, it makes sense when you really think about it, what, two a year? But one a year is madness.
Bro, come on. Like, we're living in the streaming era. We're living in, there's a million outlets out there. Like,
you can't be a star for Fight Once a Year. You can't.
No, and he doesn't care. And no. He cares now, but he's 38, 37.
But Gary Russell was always like that. Remember Gary Russell Jr. when he was on that absolute amazing tear for so many years? It was once a year. He always won, and he always looked spectacular, but it was once a year. You can't build your profile that way.
It's impressive, but it's maddening. It's frustrating. CompuBox stats. Canelo, plus 14 plus minus rating, number 6 among current champions. Championship caliber fighters, I should say. Crawford.
And which fights are those? Is that his whole career or that's recent?
It's probably 25. He has a lot of fights in our database. I would say it's over 20 fights, plus 14.2.
Because that number has definitely changed over the last 5 fights.
We'll get into that in a second. Yeah, the drop off is pretty staggering in terms of output. That's number 6.
But also getting hit. I mean, John Ryder fighting got hit a lot. Yeah, you know,
he did.
Berlanga, he got hit more than usual. There's that as well. But then you got more
of a cumulative stat with Canelo. This plus minus, it's still being able to maintain it. And you know, plus 14 is a pretty good number. I mean, there's only a few guys that are over 20. Lomachenko, Mayweather. I think Andre Ward was getting close to plus 20-ish range before he retired. Shakur Stevenson is getting up there. Bivol. It's hit and don't get hit, plus minus. It's your connect percentage minus your opponent's connect percentage. Crawford is plus 8.1, which I thought would be higher. Shakur, number 1 in the sport right now.
But also, okay, you got to think about Crawford. Crawford stops guys. He stays in the engagement zone. He's going to get hit, and he does.
Canelo's last 12 fights, all at 168 pounds or higher. He's landed 36% of his total punches. That's 6th in all of boxing. The weight class average is 28%. And for a little bit of context, Canelo lands 46% of his power shots. That's number 5 in all of boxing. And I wanted to look at the output because we've seen... You know, neither of these guys are going to fill it up every round. It's low output. They're sitting down on shots. They were knockout punchers. 11 fights at 168 for Canelo has thrown 44 punches around. Crawford, 43 punches around. Almost identical output for these two.
Yeah, not the busiest guys in the sport, and I think that's going to play a big factor in how this fight pans out. And they're not getting younger. You mentioned Crawford doesn't fight often. You mentioned, you know, these guys' ages, it doesn't really come up a lot, surprisingly. You know, Crawford is damn near 38. Canelo's on the other side of 35. Age matters.
Canelo's the younger. Canelo's spry. He's 35 compared to Crawford, old man, at 37 and a half. You asked me for Canelo's last 5. 34 punches around. So he's dipped down even below the 44. 35 punches thrown around, but his percentage is way up. He's landing 50% of his power shots. So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Throwing less, landing more, being more judicious, but also precision going up.
Let's see.
But also he's going up in weight though. The guys throw less punches. You don't have to throw as many punches as you go up in weight, even if you're the smaller man. But you know, Crawford carried his power. Obviously, his power actually got better as he went up in weight. So that makes sense. That tracks.
Yeah, Crawford has thrown 45 punches around over his last 5 fights. 5 jabs, 7
only 5 jabs.
Shots. Five jabs. Like that's like in this today's age, that's considered like towards the top.
That's like, landed or thrown.
Landed. Throws 26 around.
Okay.
Dude. Golovkin, at the end of his career, averaging 10 landed jabs around.
And his jabs were like right hands. The thing was a piston. He was like, busting people's faces up with jabs.
10 jabs landed around is like batting 350 in baseball or like shooting like close to 50% from 3. It's like you don't see that in boxing anymore. No one jabs. Like I'm like an old man. Like, get off my lawn. Back in my day, fighters jabbed. Like, I call a lot of fights, and I call a lot of, like, prospect-level fights for MVP. They don't jab either.
No, I know. I mean, that's higher-level stuff. So we had Henry Tillman in the gym the last couple days because he's helping with the project that I'm working on. And, I mean, he was just, like, jab. He's like, you just jab. He's like, all I did, I was a points guy. I went out there and I pumped that jab. He's a pumped that jab. He's showing, and he's a trainer now. So he was, and he still moves really good. He's very put together as Henry Tillman, which is great to see of a, you know, 65-year-old former heavyweight who's fought some of the greats. But yeah, he talked about the jab the whole time.
That's the movie you're working on.
Yes, The Fight for 84, about the 1984 Olympic boxing team. Is that the name of it? Yeah, The Fight for 84.
Okay, if we had more time, if you weren't such, you know, this is a Canelo Crawford, we will, out next week.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about that.
Once things die down a little bit, we will get some updates on your side quest, your Netflix acting side quest, which is one of the coolest things ever. Let's see, where was I going here? Yeah, the stats are impressive. These are two guys that have been atop a lot of the leaderboards. We'll see how Crawford changes his game a little bit. Does he throw less than 44? Does he throw more? I'm very, very curious about that. Where do we want to go next? Do we want to go Chris's categories here? Chris's categories.
Yeah, categories.
It's time for Chris Algieri's categories. And this is a big one. Power, speed, ring IQ, defense. I think we need to add like a fifth category. And I wanted to ask you this before we recorded. Like an intangible, like a bright light.
Yeah, well, I was actually fine. I was going to talk about that one, but...
Okay, well, we'll give you some time to think about it. But let's start off with power.
This has actually been a very easy power meter or score meter to figure out for this fight. But power is Canelo. You know, it's at 168. And regardless of him not getting stoppages lately, the guy still knocks down big guys. You know, and a lot of people are talking about, like, you know, Canelo's dropping 200 pounders. Edgar Berlanga is huge, dude. I mean, 68, you know, he's stepping in the ring close to 200 pounds. He dropped him brilliantly with a left hook early on in that fight. John Ryder, been around John. He's a big, he's a stocky, strong guy, put him down. Jaime Munguia is a very big guy at 68, put him down with a beautiful combination. Yeah, power is definitely Canelo.
Speed.
Crawford. Smaller man coming up. You know, he's not the quickest guy on his feet. He's not the quickest guy with his hands. But the timing of when he throws his shots and the fact that they're technically perfect, he gets there. He gets to the target very, very fast. He's also longer. So I'm going speed on Crawford.
But it's not like Crawford. I mean, it's not like Canelo is some sloth. Freaking sloth. Because
hand speed is one of Canelo's attributes. People forget about that.
Once again, the Munguia uppercut and the Berlanga left were so quick and so fast.
Well, so is his jab. His jab is very fast. His first step is very, very good for Canelo. But also, and I'm going to make a caveat to that because a little asterisk, we've seen Canelo look super fast against bigger guys. He's part of the reason I think he's moved up because he likes being the faster man. He likes being the guy with the faster hand speed, or at least he likes a big differential in hand speed. And yes, he's fast, but he's not the faster guy tonight. This weekend. So that could affect him more than you would think.
Ring IQ.
As much experience as Canelo has, and as many of the great fighters that he's been with, I think if you compare record to record, I think Canelo has fought the better opposition over his long, illustrious career. I'm still going Crawford. I think that it's not even so much about being smarter. I just think that he's got so many more options. He's got such a deeper bag when it comes to both offense and defense and the way that he sets things up. And he's got BOMAC. BOMAC is a great strategist. These guys develop a strategy over a long training camp and they practice it and they make it work. And they just always have tricks up their sleeves. There's always something that you don't really know about. They're very, very deceptive. So based on his deceptive ability to follow the strategies that are worked on in camp and his ability to execute, I'm going Crawford.
Defense.
This is an interesting one. We talked about the plus minus. I actually believe that Canelo has a better defense. The way that he's able to slip, slide, and roll with these shots. If you watch that Triple G fight, that second fight, it's damn near perfect. These two guys, the way they're throwing these power shots and able, like it's like a whole round of them throwing back and forth and nothing lands. That I mean, so smooth, so quick, so beautifully done. And I always say this when I'm training people, I'm like, you know, offense and defense need to be together. This isn't basketball. It's not like I have the ball, now I'm offensive. Now I don't have the ball, so I'm defensive. It's not like football. We have two different teams for offense and defense. Boxing is offense and defense at the same time. So you need to be able to punch with your head offline, punch when making sure you have the least amount of openings. And I always joke, I'm like, listen, if everyone does everything right, nobody gets hit. And that is why the sport is called, you know, the sweet science is called hit and don't be hit. And we talked about Crawford. Crawford gets touched because he's going for knockouts. He's willing to stay in the pocket. He's willing to take one to give five. And we've seen that. And we saw him in the Madrigal fight. He got touched by a guy who was boxing with him. You know, Canelo has been getting hit more and more recently. But again, all of these scores are going to go with what version of that guy steps in the ring on that night. But yeah, I'm going to lean Canelo on that one.
All right, so do we have like a fifth category? Like, what would it even be like? Because I think it's such different.
We do, and I think it should be a combination of hunger and momentum, and I think it should be this the intangible of hunger, right? The intangible of where they are mentally at this stage of their career, and that's what I mean by momentum, and that goes for Crawford. Crawford strikes me as the much hungrier guy at this version of their careers. You saw that interview about, or not an interview, but it was a little meme about Shakur. It's like, yo, you can't beat this guy in ping pong. He's going to come back and beat you 100 times. The competitive advantage, the competitiveness, the hunger, the drive, 100% in Crawford's side.
That's awesome. Because I was thinking like big fight vibe, like Canelo would have that edge. But hunger is a big part of this fight. And motivation is a big part of this fight. And a lot of people are saying, I throw all those other things out that we just did, power, speed, ring IQ, defense, which all have, for the most part, have leaned towards Canelo. You can't put a measurement on motivation and hunger, which I think Crawford has. I mean, he's shown it his whole career. Like he's just has that will to win. He's never lost at the professional level. Very interesting stuff. And there are people that believe that Crawford should have the edge in almost every category, probably besides power. I think everyone knows that Canelo has the better power.
Yeah, but then people are going to argue, well, Crawford knocks people out. He had a unbelievable knockout streak, and there's going to be arguments all
between
over the
two, though. It's head to head category. Not career, but this is why this is such an intriguing fight. And is it a manufactured fight? Yeah, because, you know, Canelo and Crawford, I don't care. You can go back and pull up clips of like, oh, Max Kellerman in 2015 was asked about this. This was never a fight that was really on boxing fans' minds. I mean, everyone thought, the majority of people thought Spence was going to beat Crawford. Spence Canelo. We talked about Spence.
Yeah. I thought that was going to happen.
Spence was looked at as the bigger guy. He was, you know, shedding all the weight. He was going to fight.
Also, bigger profile. That fight was, the Canelo Spence fight was humongous. You put that in Dallas with Mexican fans coming in, and you got Spence's fans. Yeah. I had someone reached out and said like, oh, Spence wasn't that popular. He didn't sell that much. Like, no, you're wrong. I've been to these fights. You're crazy wrong.
I was in Jerry World, AT&T Stadium for the Mikey Garcia fight. There was 55,000 people there.
I love when people just say something completely out of the blue, like it's doctrine.
You're just history, like, bro.
I'm like, no, dude, you're wrong. Like, you're literally, I've been there. Like, you don't have a leg to stand on.
The most one of the most biggest, I don't know if this is even a term, biggest revisionist history involves Errol Spence.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but because your last fight tells a long story for your career, and it's unfortunate that happens to all of us, though. You always remember
fans
your last,
will tell
your last
you that Spence entered the ring on crutches and a neck brace against Crawford. Meanwhile, in that fight lead up, when we were in the trenches, like we always are in terms of content, one of the most 50-50 fight weeks ever.
Yeah. And it's just one of those ones where it's such a blowout. You're like, oh, yeah, of course. I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, like you said, revisionist history is for that fight, for sure.
Completely switching gears. We'll talk very briefly about Naoya Inoue, who fights Sunday. Like, pound for pound.
Did they find a network? What is it on?
Did
we get a
network?
It's
not going to be on DAZN. I have it on good authority that, you know, I'm not breaking any news here. Usually the news you break is where a player lands or a trade that happens that did happen. I know for a fact DAZN is not picking up Inoue versus Akhmadaliyev. So that leaves ESPN Plus as our only savior. Or we're going back to like 10 years ago, like finding a stream that might corrupt your phone and computer.
Getting a computer STD back AIDS. In the days. Computer AIDS.
Are you willing to get AIDS computerly for Naoya Inoue, MJ Akhmadaliyev?
Dude, I gotta watch. I gotta see Inoue. I like this fight. I like that fight a lot. So I gotta find that fight. And we
this
will.
Just sure we this just shows you how much of a global sport boxing truly is. Naoya Inoue is the biggest star, the biggest name in number one pound for pound fighter in boxing, fighting on the other completely other side of the world, doesn't need the U.S. and is still going to do big business. Like I think they neglected the U.S. big time. I think a lot of people dropped the ball here. I don't understand how, you know, Matchroom doesn't push more for this. I don't understand. He's a ring ambassador. He's Turkey.
They didn't move it. Move it a week later.
A week later would have been amazing. Like, we have something to talk about next week. Like, now we're spending 3 minutes on a really good fight.
I'm wondering, though, because he stole the show last time, right? Remember, we had that huge weekend. It was Times Square. It was back to back Friday, Saturday night, and then he fought
Canelo
on Sunday.
It was Times Square, right, and Canelo Sunday night, Cardenas.
Right. Maybe they're looking at not expecting a great main event and kind of leaving people like longing. And then
you really think
Nia
there's that much thought into this, or it's just like, here's the date?
I don't, actually. You're right.
Like, you
think
there's planning
you know what? You called me out.
Practical there, Algeri.
Put a pin in that one.
Way too practical. This is promoters saying, screw the other ones. We don't care. This is the deal we're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's a good fight. And, you know, I haven't spent too much time thinking about it. I haven't spent too much time looking at it, but I did see a story where Inoue is now talking about, I'm not focusing too much on knockouts. I'm focusing on the win. And because he's got himself in some big time problems. Last couple fights, Neary drops him. Cardenas drops him and nearly finishes him. Akhmadaliev, this fight should have happened 2-3 years ago. You can say what you want about him. The thing about MJ is he's got really good power. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he takes the canvas again in a way.
I wouldn't be crazy shocked if he lost. I really think this is a tough fight. I've said this on air before. I think this is an extremely, extremely tough fight for an Inoue. Akhmadaliev, I think, was always going to be an issue for Inoue. Let's see how it pans out. Because Inoue is just, talk about intangibles. Inoue is different.
All right. Odds for Inoue MJ are wild. Inoue is a -1,000 favorite.
Wow.
They don't give a damn about MJ Akhmadaliev. Inoue by stoppage, which has been, he's on quite a KO streak, -260. Akhmadaliev by decision, +1,400. Akhmadaliev by stoppage, +1,100.
Yeah, so harder to get a decision. That makes sense.
But those are huge numbers. Like, if Akhmadaliev just winning. And Akhmadaliev winning is over +1,100.
We give it no respect. No respect to MJ.
Rodney Daniels. No respect. That's Sunday. I don't know how. Hopefully, last second heave ESPN Plus picks this up, because I don't care how tired I am Sunday morning after Canelo Crawford, like, I will get up. I watch it, you know, had one eye open.
Shoot, I might just stay up. I might just stay up.
Ride it straight through, baby.
What do they call that? Raw dog in it. I'm raw dog on my flight.
Whoa,
What is it? What do they call that? Isn't that a term? What's the thing?
Raw dogging is when you don't listen to anything on a flight. You don't read anything. You just stare.
It is raw dogging, right? Yeah, it's so funny. Like, being in the gym with these younger guys. Like,
is listening to this pod. We can't be.
I'm truly becoming an unk. Like, I don't know the terms anymore.
I'm
like,
full unk, bro. If I'm unk, full unk, you're 100% unk.
My nephew he goes to bat for me. He's like, no, he's an unk. He doesn't know what he said.
Oh,
he doesn't.
My God.
Like, I'm just bro, like, okay. Oh, damn.
Dude, it's rough because I work for MVP, obviously, and their entire social media staff is 21 years old.
Yeah.
I am full-blown unk to them.
Yeah. I'm better off talking to a 65-year-old than a 21-year-old at this point.
I said YOLO, which I thought was still a thing, and they looked at me like I was. They were like, "What?
What?
YOLO?
All right, boomer.
Drink a four loco, saying YOLO." Let's undercard. Christian Mabili, Lester Martinez should steal the show.
Awesome car, awesome fight. Mabili, should be 12 rounder. Should be a 12 rounder.
What the hell? Why is it 10 rounds? And it's also not the co-main event.
Yeah, that too. So I heard a couple reports about this. One is that they really wanted to push the Callum Walsh fight as the co-main, which is silly. But then also I heard that it was to do with Netflix. They only wanted one 12 rounder to make the main event seem that much more grand. So, but again, hearsay, don't know if either one of these are true, but I think that's silly. I think that these guys are both world-class. I think they're on the precipice of fighting for a world title in their next fight, whoever wins the fight. So I think that's silly.
This is
deprived of, if the fight goes the distance, we're deprived of two more rounds of action. and two more rounds for these guys to separate, because it is a truly 50-50 fight.
46 of their combined 56 landed punches are power shots.
They're both studs.
Mabili throws 80. Go ahead.
No, no, finish the numbers.
Mabili throws 80 punches around. Martinez throws 70 punches around.
Yeah, and Mabili is just—he's just a workhorse. He's a volume guy. Lester is a finisher, so a lot of those numbers are based on him looking for going in for the kill. Like he is—he's a hunter. These guys are going to meet in the center of the ring and bang. I think that Lester is the cleaner of the two technically, but Mabili is just a workhorse, dude. The guy's got an engine like it's crazy. But very, very interesting fight, and should steal the show. But I'm telling you, I'm with Lester. I got Lester winning this fight.
Lester Martinez. What are the odds on that one? Let me see. Get it right here. Oh, it's very close. Lester Martinez +145 underdog. Good value there. That's worth sprinkling. And Billy's really good. He's never been tested.
And it's only because people don't really know Lester.
Right. And Billy, no, people don't really know him Billy either, but he's like hardcores know him. He just has like that style where, like I just said, like this 80 punches around, all power, fights one way. Susceptible for upsets, and he's got his brain on a lot of big fights, potentially Canelo, Mabili. I would say this is like a Canelo. This is like a, I don't think
Canelo eliminator.
You enter the room. You're like, you get into the room, of potential, like Hamza Shirez and Billy Lester
Very
Martinez.
Dangerous fight for both guys, because I think Mabili was going to get the Canelo fight regardless. But he's risking it fighting Lester, because Lester's a really tough fight, a tough guy to get past. I think if Mabili gets past him, he's 100% going to be fighting Canelo. And I think even if he didn't have this fight, if he just had like a state busy fight, he probably still gets Canelo.
Yeah, I think Mabili is a darling of Turkey, the way he fights. I would put him on the inside track if he wins to get a Canelo fight in the next two or three fights, if it's not Shiraz. Mabili Shiraz. Canelo's
got
to win.
Great guy too, by the way, Mabili. Both of them are. And Lester, Canadian. But Mabili is Canadian. Such a nice guy. Canadian.
Yeah, they are trying to make Callum Walsh a thing. I do think it's going to be a fun fight. Fernando Vargas Jr. Is not Emiliano Vargas Jr., but he's very good.
And he can punch. He can
punch. He's got a good style. I think this will be like the fight you would like want to see before a main event. Like it's going to be two big punchers. It'll probably be a spectacular knockout. It'll probably come from Callum Walsh. I think they dropped the ball. Like Emiliano Vargas or Abdul the Mason or... Someone of that ilk should have been on this card, because
I don't necessarily really? Agree, because I think profile wise this is probably a bigger one, and obviously TKO is as the, you know, the incentive to push Callum, and I think record wise you put these two guys together and it's a true, like, here we go, prospect winner becomes a contender.
No, I'm fine with the fight yeah. Walsh Vargas, but I believe there should have been one stud set on this card in some capacity, like Emiliano Vargas. Like they have Vargas, but it should be Emiliano. No offense to Fernando. Like,
you know what got me really excited for this fight was Robert Garcia. Like he said that California is really interested in this fight because both guys train out there. Both Fernando Jr. and Callum both train in on the West Coast, and obviously the Mexicans are behind Fernando Vargas. Fernando Vargas is the son of Efros, so you know there's a lot of interest there. And Robert's like, yo, he can punch. He can really punch. And I'm like, okay, all right, we got it. It made me way more excited to hear Robert be excited for this fight.
Upset City. All right, let's get to our predictions. Canelo Crawford predictions. I'll start. Canelo's going to win this fight. Canelo is winning a decision. It's going to be close. 116, 112, 115, 113 type of thing. Clean, effective punches will be the thing. And that is Canelo's MO at this point in his career. He's also going to come forward in this fight. Crawford is going to have a very hard time coming forward. Judges love when fighters come forward. Judges love power. Judges love clean punching. Canelo's going to do all of that. He's going to show his size. He's going to show that he is not over the hill. The motivation is going to be there. Canelo decision 116-ish 112.
And listen, Canelo should win this fight. And Dan, I hate agreeing with you, which is why I'm definitely not going to. I got Crawford, bro. I got Crawford for the exact reason on my stats, the hunger, motivation, competitiveness. I'm going Crawford. I don't see this guy losing at anything. He's going to dig deeper. He's willing to go into dark places. He's got the extra gears to pull it out when he needs to. We saw that Madrimov fight. He finished strong. He finished late. When I was talking about this fight, I'm like, yeah, I think Crawford comes out early, pulls out, some, you know, get some points early on, racks him up. And then, you know, the middle rounds are going to be rough, very physical, very tough on Crawford, but he's going to dig deep. And then at the end of the fight, we have seen Crawford slow, Canelo slow in his past how many fights? Punches go down, guys survive, he plays with his food. And we've seen Crawford be like, yo, the end is near. I can pull out some more points. And he does. And I got him winning real close. Or they rob him. But I think definitely going to a decision. But dude, I'm going on hunger and intangibles on this one. It would be very easy for me to go buy the books. Dan, you're the numbers guy. You're the numbers guy. You go buy the books. You look at all these stats and you're like, Canelo wins this fight. I am the sweet science guy. I am the fighter who's been in the eyes, the heart, the motivation, the hunger, the intangibles. Listen, man, I think this guy figures out a way to win. As crazy as it sounds. Crazy as it sounds, man.
It's not that crazy. Also, I am the numbers guy, but I was not going with numbers for this one. I was going with just straight, like...
Well, you're going just objective truths. Is what I mean. More so like objective. Like it's just like you're objective, I'm subjective. I'm going like, well, I'm going more intangibles. You're going more like, yo, this guy should win the fight. He's bigger. He's going to win the fight.
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, we don't talk beforehand our predictions. Like you telling me Crawford's going to win, that was as shocking to me as it might be to some of our listeners out there. Like you did not tip your hand to me at all. We talk boxing all day long. That kind of shocked me a little bit because I thought for sure you'd be going for Canelo. So this means when you go on Pro Box or one of your other things, you're going to pick Canelo, right?
Yeah. No.
Okay, you won't.
There's too many C's. No, I'm going Crawford.
Okay.
I'm going Crawford.
All the way.
And
I mean,
listen, give a little more context too. I just don't think we're dealing with the same Canelo. I think the Canelo who fought Caleb Plant, I think he actually beats Crawford up. I don't think that version of him that was hungry, that was mean. The guy who beat BJ Saunders, bro, I was there. I was there when he was larger than life. I mean, he was so unstoppable. His momentum was ridiculous then. But I just don't see that. I don't see the same hunger. And fighters don't get old in the gym. They get old in the ring.
Is that gear there? Yeah, I think this is Canelo's last great performance.
It'd be better for the sport. I'll tell you that much. Crawford wins. What do we get next? Like, does it make sense? He's not gonna defend the 68-pound titles.
I think it would be an awesome moment if Crawford wins, and I think we get a rematch 100%. I think we get a rematch
Probably get a rematch either way.
Yeah, this is too big. This is way too much. This is a financial type of fight. But yeah, the thing with Crawford, I will agree with you, is him finding it late. Like the Porter fight, yo, you're down on the cards. Was he drop and stops him the next round? Or finding Madrimov, you know, he used a jab towards the end of the fight. Completely, you know, went to plan C. Like he does have that. Where Canelo, the last couple of fights, we've seen a guy sputtering to the finish line, like not getting these guys out of there. Glorified sparring sessions.
It's the daring to be great thing. Like, if I'm going to compare two fights head to head, I'm going to compare Bivol versus Canelo, and I'm going to compare Crawford versus Madrimov. Hmm. And both men were down and needed the last couple rounds to win. Canelo didn't go for it. Crawford did.
All right. I got Canelo. Chris has Crawford. As if this fight couldn't have any more intrigue, the world now knows our picks, and it's going to be all over the internet, I'm sure. Enjoy the fight. Let us know how you'll be watching. We'll be doing some type of content following, whether it's Saturday night, Sunday morning, Monday morning. Who knows? I haven't even thought about
that. We're just going to go all night long. We're just going to talk all through the night till the Inoue fight. We're just going to, as soon as the Canelo Crawford fight ends, we're going to start talking. We're going to talk about that, and then by the next thing you know, the sun's coming up, and it's time for Inoue.
The post fight show.
All right, it's a post fight pre fight. It's a post show pre show.
Yeah, when the post fight bleeds into the pre show for the next day, that's when you know you're doing way too much content. All right, everyone, enjoy the fight. Let's have a good one. Let's not box. Don't fall on our face, boxing. Don't let us down. Give us a nice, clear, a fun fight and a clear winner. Yeah. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of the DMs.